understand what that is all about. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, that means we are almost through the book of Ephesians. What are we going to do? So Ephesians chapter 6, remember we've been looking at the application of the gospel and how it comes into everyday life. Initially we looked at kind of the general principles of morality. Last week we looked at marriage. This week we're going to look at the family, children and parents. Next week the workplace. And so why don't we ask God, actually we'll read the passage and ask God to just give us His wisdom as we look at it. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would be with us, that you would teach us. God, that you would show us your best and your design for us. God, as we look at this passage, all of us fit into these categories. Either as a child, maybe an adult child, as a parent of little ones. Lord, there is much for all of us in this passage to learn from. God, teach us, expose our hearts, but yet, God, help us to see how this offers life to us. And I pray that your Spirit would work and that your Word would go out and it would not return to you void or empty. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With all the stuff happening with my dad, reconnected with my high school English teacher. Actually, he's a friend of mine, and he wrote me an email, and he wrote this article a few years back about his boys. And he was listening to a song that moved him, and he went on to write this. He goes, "The song moved me, reached inside my chest and clutched me deep. And it propelled me to my Mac to move my hands on keys for the first time in a long time. Not because I think I have anything relevant or insightful to say, and certainly not because I'm craving an audience for my ramblings. Rather, because I've got two sons, Jake and Jack, 5 and 3, on the floor behind me as I type this. J1 smashing a lizard man into a set of plastic headphones. And J2 multitasking, stacking Legos with one hand and stabbing the on button of a GeoTrax train engine with the other. They could be playing anywhere else in the house right now, but they are choosing to play right behind me. And I know why. Like all boys, they spend each second of their existence expectantly hoping that their father will drop everything and connect with them. They're booshing loudly behind me, waiting for me to stop this senseless typing and snatch up the lightsaber next to my keyboard, falling backwards off the chair, right into the middle of the action, raising the Lego tower and taking out the headphones with a Goliath swing. They want initially to feel their own jaws drop like the mailbox doors, and then to feel the roar of our collective laughter as we shower each other with blows and try to wrestle each other into submission. And finally, they want it all to end ultimately with a serious hug on the floor amidst the scattered carnage." We hear that and we understand the life that those boys were longing for, the sense of their dad being in their life, and we understand the amazing magnitude of a family dynamic, the amazing power of the relationship of children and parents. There really is something incredibly special about that relationship. We all know it intuitively. When we hear an article like that, we can get it. We can wrap our arms around it. But I would say, as much as we know that, we all face this reality that children tend to pull away from parents, and they tend to go their own way, and parents tend to either provoke or crush rather than train, and in so doing, pull away from their children. That these tendencies are kind of in us. But yet, we look at this passage that just calls us to really live out God's design for us in families. And these are commands for children and commands for parents. But they are not just things that we should think of as burdens or as duties or as just obligations to live out. These are commands that give life. And so the first thing we come to is this command for children. And so in a sense, that really applies to everybody in this room. Everybody is a child of a parent. They may not be living, but all of us were children at some level or some point. So for children, there's a sense that it's a command that offers life. And so what is the command? Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It really is a command of obedience. And then he goes on in verse 2. He says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first command with a promise. This command encompasses both fathers and mothers. And that's extremely important in an age when this was written, when the firstborn son actually would have more rights than the mom herself in first century Israel, or even before. And so it's not just a cultural norm to honor your father. It is honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, it says, each of you must respect his mother and his father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. There really is a sense where the respect that is due is not just geared towards the father, especially in this day and age when the father had the prominence of the family and all the rights. This honor was due to mothers and fathers, even above the firstborn son having more rights than the mother at that point. So what is it? What is honoring? It comes from the word heavy. It comes from the word weighty or deserving of glory. It's more than just putting up with your parents. To honor your parents, you have to look at the role of them. That it's really to love them, to cherish them, instruct them. Their role is to love and cherish, instruct, train, and discipline. That's the role of parents. So to honor them would be to what? Would be to respond to the role that God has given them. So children, if you find yourself not listening to your parents' instruction, believe me, you are not honoring them. If you are resisting their discipline, you're not honoring them. If you are resisting their training, you are not honoring them, because that is the role that God has given them. And not just broadly, but it's the role that God has given them for you in your life. So this aspect of honor also encapsulates this a sense of reverence or of respect. You know, lessening of yourself towards somebody else. That's what respect is, right? It's kind of bowing before somebody, not literally, but putting yourself less towards somebody else. That's the sense of reverence or of respect. And so what is dishonor? If honor is something that's weighty and deserving glory, dishonor is treating something weighty as though it were not weighty. Not giving someone their proper due, not giving someone their proper sense of respect. That idea of honor, especially back in Leviticus 19, it has the similar sense of the fear of the Lord. Not the fear of cowering away from them, but this honor and this respect and the rapport. So what do we give, what do children give to parents in order to honor them? Verse 1 says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. Honor includes subjection to your parents. When they direct, you oblige, you listen, and you're willing to heed to their rules. So it really is a command of obedience. But remember that this is a command, not just that's a burden, but this is a command that gives life. Next thing we have to look at is why does it give life? Is because of the magnitude of the parental relationship. Here in that article that we led off with, the implications of obedience bear out the importance of the command. What is promised in verse 3? Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, is this an absolute guarantee that if you honor your parents, you will live to 80 or 90 years old? No, it's more of a proverb, more of a general principle that it will go well with you. You will avoid all sorts of pitfalls in life because of you honoring your parents. It's the first command that has a promise attached to it. There is a result linked to the adherence of the command. There's two senses here that it could mean, you know, but God really doesn't differentiate in this command. It could mean, if you obey, God will lengthen, or I, as God, will lengthen your life. Or it could mean this, if you obey, the result will come about to lengthen your life. I think it's probably the latter, the natural fallout of consequence according to living according to God's design leads to a well-being of children and all of us as we grow up, as opposed to us living rightly and then God says, ah, you did what you should, therefore I will bless you. I think there is a sense to that, but I think the truest sense is that God brings about the natural consequences, the good things from us obeying and living according to His design. Why does this command have such great power? It's linked to the nature of the relationship, the magnitude of the parental relationship. It's a reference point for all other relationships. Your relationship with your parents. It sets the baseline for them. It establishes relational patterns. What is it? What do we learn in living with our parents? What do we learn? We learn submission. We learn to trust someone other than ourselves. We develop a willingness to learn. We develop attitudes towards authority. And when we learn to surrender to our parents, children, what do we learn? We learn to surrender to our God. Because the understanding of parents comes well before your understanding of God. As we talk to Rachel about and Caitlin about things, they understand what obedience to us is more than they understand obedience to their God. But as they learn to surrender to us, they will understand what it is to surrender to their God. So there's a magnitude to this relationship that sets a baseline and establishes patterns for all of life. It offers life in this command, but it also exposes our heart. You might say, well, how does that command expose our heart? It exposes our heart when we resist it. What is our tendency? Our tendency is to disregard our parents. We were sitting at, Linda was sitting with the girls at breakfast. And so, girls, you want a waffle or a pancake or whatever? Rachel says, I want Fruit Loops. And so Linda says, well, those are snacks. Fruit Loops are snacks. And not for breakfast, because we just don't want to load them up so early on sugar. And Rachel says, oh, no, Mom. It says on the box that it's a breakfast cereal. And Linda, Rachel, you are arguing and not obeying. Rachel, I don't like it here. I'm moving to California. And every kid has wanted to move out of their home at any point, at some point in their life, right? There is a tendency in all of us to disregard our parents. Because they tell us something we don't want to hear. It runs counter to what we want to do. And what do? They react against, right? Disregarding our parents is ingrained in there. And it really is a natural response of the fall. It's not natural according to God's design. It's natural in our sinful nature to distance ourselves from our parents, to disregard their perspective and their instruction. Take it more extremely, to curse them, to cast them off, or even harm them. The results from not honoring parents are interesting. And I would even say sometimes catastrophic. To yourself personally, what are the effects of not honoring your parents? Well, you come to this place of exalting yourself, that you can do no wrong. You're the know-it-all. And you learn what it is, or you learn this sense of not honoring authority. You're untouchable. You're above the law. You become a very demanding person of your parents, and rather than being someone that is thankful. That's the effect to you personally. What's the effect to you relationally with other people? There's poor relationships. because you can't submit to anybody. You can't be vulnerable. You put up a protective wall around yourself. And there's a distant relationship with God because you've not learned how to live in submission or subjection to someone in authority. You know, our story about Rachel is cute and funny, but not adhering to this command can have drastic consequences. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. To not do that does have drastic consequences. Let me tell you about Valesa Robinson. She was a girl that was in the youth group at the church I was on staff at when I first started being on staff in youth ministry in college. At the age of 13, she began walking down a very, very dark road. And for the next 2 years, she was unwilling to heed her parents' instruction. Her parents had actually divorced. She was living with her mom. And she did whatever she wanted, but she would never listen to her folks. Soon she ended up in drugs, sexual activity, all sorts of rebellion over those 2 years. And so at the age of 15, she started dating a 19-year-old boy who had just gotten out of jail and was on probation. So drawing her mother's disapproval, obviously, the mom tried to stop this relationship. And the mom arranged her daughter to go to boarding school because it was just very difficult. And that arrangement was until the night of June 27th, 1998, when Valesa helped her boyfriend murder her mother in her own home, dump the body, and then took off for Arizona. This was a girl in our youth group. This wasn't the story that you hear about just on 48 hours. This was the girl that lived 5 minutes from my home. There are catastrophic effects of not adhering to the commands of God. Not just to avoid the negative, because those commands give life, that it may go well with you. There's truly a magnitude to this relationship and this command. And when we find ourselves resisting it, it exposes our hearts. It says, God, we have a better way figured out. It's not just you resisting your folks. It is you resisting the commands and the design of God. So let me ask you this. You might be saying, all right, I'm over 18. I'm out of my house. Does this command apply to me? Absolutely. Honor your father and mother. Does it apply to me as an adult man who lives 8 hours away from my parents? Absolutely. What is it for me to no longer be under my parents' tutelage, no longer under their discipline, but yet to still honor them? Am I still my dad's son? Am I still my mother's son? Absolutely. Can I still honor them? I always get a kick out of people that think through raising their kids or kids thinking about, like, this whole arrangement ends at 18. Like, I just got to get them to 18. And no! Kids, at 18, it doesn't end. I will always be listening to my folks. Not in the same way I did when I was 5. But their instruction, their wisdom into my life, their understanding of who I am and how I am as a husband and as a dad is unlike any other. Honor your father and your mother. Yeah, we're going to be married and we will leave our father and mother and be united to his wife. But what is it for us to honor them? To honor our parents as they grow in age? What is your heart attitude towards them? Maybe as their health is failing. What is your attitude to your parents as they find themselves an empty nest? Do you even care? When your parents start to cost you money, what will your attitude be towards them? When they start to instruct you on your parenting, you really don't want to listen. What is your attitude towards your parents? Can we still honor them even as adults? And even being out of their own home, I would say yes. Not in the same sense as being under their home, in their home, but I would say it still goes to this same pattern. I would say if you didn't learn this as a child, there might be a sense where you struggle with authority. You know, what happens inside of you when someone tells you that you're wrong? What happens inside of you when you find yourself constantly questioning authority? Or you feel like nobody does things as well as you do? I would say there's a lot of fallout to not learning this parental relationship and surrendering to people's authority. You might be saying, all right, well, what do I do with that? If I find myself there, I would say plead with God to establish new relational norms in your life. Say, God, I have not learned this. God, I find myself being the above the law all the time, being unable to listen to anybody. Jesus, come in and change me. Because how do we adhere to any command is not in and of ourselves and our own willpower. It is the work of God in us that allows us to listen. You may be saying, Keith, you don't know my parents. You didn't know my parents. You know, this command feels right when we talk about good households and good parents. But it feels like, how would we do that when our households we would struggle with? I would say that this command is really not qualified. God doesn't qualify it, should we? So how can you honor your parents even when you don't exactly respect them? When they were really terrible or absent to you, how do you honor them still? Again, that's a dying to self. It is to say, you know, God has given these parents to me. There is a blessing of us honoring them and giving respect because God has given them to us. You can disagree with them and still honor them in their place in your life. So that's the sense of children. What about for parents? We're kind of running short on time. But what about parents here? He says in verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Before we go too much further, can we get the ice off of the thermostat? Because it's got the heat on. Great. For parents, there really is a sense where it offers life. This command offers life. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. There really is a unified front of us as parents. Now, if you find yourself as a single parent, this doesn't negate your influence. But if there is a husband and a wife in a family together, you are a unified front in raising your children. Because why? Children obey your parents, plural, in the Lord. We have to be a unified front in doing this. It's so easy to be divided as parents, isn't it? It's so easy to help our kids learn how to disregard the other. You know, if Linda does something I'm not really on board with, it's so easy for me to help the kids learn how to disrespect Linda. And then we divide ourselves. But God says the call for our kids is to obey us as parents in the Lord. And so we must learn what it is to be united together, and in so doing, teach our kids how to surrender and how to submit to authority rather than crippling their well-being. So it's a unified front, but then also it's a sense where we bring them up in training and instruction. That idea of bringing them up is to nourish, to nurture, to pursue their growth. It's contrasted against what? The first part of verse 4, do not exasperate your children. Exasperating destroys, training them and giving them instruction gives life. Gospel-centered parenting seeks to give life to our kids. And we seek to train them, to allow them to try it for themselves and fail. Build them up, train them, discipline them, give them more instruction, encourage them so that they might keep going. So if that is the command that gives life, what exposes our hearts? For every parent in this room, this is one of those things that you just don't want to think about and look at. But it exposes our hearts in that it is our tendency to provoke our kids. Or maybe even crush our kids. Do not exasperate your children. That sense of exasperating is provoking them to anger. Or actually even bringing them to wrath. The word here is translated many times. The Greek translation of the Old Testament is this word, this idea for provoking. And this word is used about 50 times in the Old Testament to talk about Israel doing something disobedient to provoke the wrath of God on them. Paul knows that. And that, so this word is kind of a loaded word in kind of biblical language. So parents, fathers, do not bring your children to wrath. Instead, instruct them and train them. So it's how we live That we live in a way so inconsistent with the things of God that we actually bring out the righteous anger in our children. Because we are living inconsistently with what God has called us. And God is saying, don't provoke your children. But every single one of us as a parent has found ourselves there. That they're being so defiant, they're being so frustrating, that you kind of get this sick pleasure out of furthering their frustration. You can, I'll smile if I'm the only one. And in a sense, we have flipped from being the disciplinarian, the instructor, or the trainer, to the one who is provoking and furthering the issue with our children. What have we done? We've just desired to provoke them and crush them. Colossians 3 says it this way, kind of a corollary passage. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. And if your parenting is finding discouragement in your children, before the Lord, ask Him to say, God, am I provoking my kids? Am I living according to the design that You want me to live as a parent, as a father, and as a mother? So what's going on there? It's the desire to win. You're so angry with them that you really want to frustrate them more. The call for children is to obey. But it really, that call is also a call for us as parents. It is to really demand their subjection. But secondly, it's to live in such a way that they desire to follow You. They desire to surrender to You. They desire to live according to Your rule in your home. Because you are quite instrumental, parents, in your children's willingness to honor You. It's kind of a both and. It's this symbiotic process of their obedience is right, but yet we help their obedience. Right? And their obedience helps us train them. And it really is a beautiful picture of the home. But I would say when we hit those commands, we come up against the tendency in our hearts is to resist that and go our own way. And when we find ourselves there, where do we go back to? We go back to the gospel. We go back to the sense of, God, I cannot meet Your standard. I cannot live according to Your design. God, change me, empower me by Your Spirit, because You are at work in me. Why? Because it will go well with you if you live according to the design and the commands of God. They offer life. They are not just burdens and duties. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray.